Your life is precious. This is it. You've got one shot at this. But is there a sense on the inside that you're capable of so much more? If so, the Missing Secret podcast is for you. The book Thinking Grow Rich has been read by over 150 million people. It's the top book in the world on success by a factor of 10. In the book, it says there's a secret for success, but the author only gives us half the secret.
When I turned 50, I figured out the full secret, the missing secret, and developed a 12-minute-a-day technique to apply it. And it caused my income to go up by 25 times over the $200,000 to $300,000 a year I was making the prior 20 years. I felt so blessed.
When John taught me the missing secret, it changed my life, doubling my income and dramatically impacting my health, relationships, and quality of life.
Today, most people are just winging life. They don't have anything pulling them forward to their desired life.
Leverage yourself through science. It takes 12 minutes a day. Watch what happens.
Welcome to the Missing Secret Podcast. I'm Kelly Hatfield.
And I'm John Mitchell. So we have an interesting topic today, and the subject is how to love what you do for a career, your values, proclivities, and interest. And so the background on this is I realize that, you know, think of it as all about creating the exceptional life, and it's really a methodology to give you immense control over your life. But one of the things that you got to do if you're going to have the exceptional life is you really need a career that you love. It doesn't do you any good to have a career that you don't love, even though you may have control over it. If you don't love it, then you're not going to really have the exceptional life. Would you agree with that, Kelly?
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree with that. I'm going to pin in what I was going to say next while we roll this out, and then maybe it'll make sense later, maybe it won't, but go ahead.
Okay.
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Okay. So in having the ideal career where you love to get up every day and do what you do is a function of three things. What are your values? What are your special talents, your proclivities? And what are your interests that are economically viable? So it's sort of that intersection of those three things that will determine if you love what you do. And what's interesting about this is she says through her research that most people don't know what values are. Virtually nobody really has understood what their values are. And values relate to things like, how important is money to you? How important is family? How important is work in terms of working hard? And there's 16 different values. And so I thought it'd be interesting, Kelly, for you and me to go through these values. And she rates them on a scale of 1 to 7. And there's no right or wrong answer. It's just whatever is unique to you. And I think it'd be enlightening for our audience. And I'd strongly recommend they get this book, because I'm discovering a lot about myself from reading it. So the first value she talks about is something she calls radius, meaning your proclivity to change the world. And like on the high side, a 7 would be, I'd be a high impact world changer. Even if it meant some controversy or criticism. So that's a 7. On the 1 scale, it's B, I'd rarely concern myself with trying to change the world, the society, or the culture. So 1 to 7, where would you rate there?
I would say close to a 7. I would say 6.
Okay. You know, one thing let me add to this. This is what you would envision for your ideal life. I don't think that'll change your answer, but just know that's it for your ideal life. What would it be? And, you know, I would be probably a 7 on this. But let me also say this. I'm saying that at this stage in my life, I don't know what I would have said when I was much younger. I really don't. Of course, I had something that's life-changing, and so it's easy to feel that way today. But, you know, I'd be a 7 as well. Then here's the next one. Something she calls scope. And what she sort of means by this is a super expansive life. And like a 7 is I'd be immersed in a world teeming with adventure, learning, experiences, and even some chaos. And then on the 1 scale, it says, I'd be surrounded by stability, predictability, and calm. Everything would be known and under control. So where would you land on that?
I would say a 4.
Okay.
Yeah, I am somebody who's a planner. I like to know, you know, but I also like the adventure. I also like, you know, exploring and things along those lines, but I don't like chaos, you know, so I would probably put myself at the 4.
You know, I think I'd be there too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is interesting. You and me, at least for the first two, are aligned.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number 3, she calls it family centrism, which essentially means how important is your family. And at a 7, nothing would get in the way of my family coming first. On the 1 scale, family considerations would rarely determine my decisions or plans. So where would you fall there?
That's interesting. Just given to my situation from a family standpoint, I don't have, you know what I mean? And so for me, I'm going to be probably somewhere in the middle. Like, it's a consideration, but it isn't the only, and that's partly because of my circumstances with having kids. If I had kids, I probably would have a different answer, but I don't. So I already kind of don't have a lot of considering, you know, it's me, my husband and my dogs. And so
you want to be considering those dogs.
I do.
Yeah, no, I would fall in that category too. I'm just thinking through that process a little. I don't have kids that were my own. I have an extended family, but really the only family I have is the Ginge. And I found that you do want to be focused on what the Ginge wants. I discovered that's a good idea.
Good idea.
I think I'd probably fall at a 4 or 5, probably a 4, just like you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see what the next one is. This one's interesting. Helping people. How important in your ideal life is helping people? And at a 7, I'd be all about helping people in ways large and small. On the other end, I'd help people, but doing so wouldn't be among my top priorities. Where would you fall in that?
I'm high. I'm like a 6 or a 7 on that one. Helping people has been like that's why I love my career, you know,
right.
That it's so connected to helping people, especially in the scope of what we're talking about. That makes sense. So I'm saying a 7 or a 6, like on that side.
It's interesting on my end. I would say I'm probably a 2 or 3. And I say that now, if I'm involved with somebody and I'm teaching them thinking, be it, I'm at a 7. I'll do anything to help them. But absent that situation, I want everybody to have a great life, but this is just me, I see that so many people are lazy and won't help themselves. And so I'm not overly inclined to, as a general rule, help people. I know that sounds terrible, but I'm just being honest.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't sound terrible at all. I'm not sure what my answer would be if I didn't do what I do for a living. But that's like
right.
bedrock of what I,
yeah.
what my career has been, is helping people. So whether it's people with for jobs or companies, you know, hiring managers who are looking to, like, that's what I do all day, is help people.
Right.
Also, too, like, some of that is, I was going to say, good, bad, or, you know, for good, bad, or otherwise, because this also has been the Achilles heel when it comes to what we're talking about with some of the stuff I've had to overcome that is in my life GPS around people pleasing.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's this close connection and tie in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that is. Yeah, that's interesting. You know,
and you are not a people pleaser.
No. You know, that is hurtful right there. That really.
I wish I wasn't.
Man, Kelly, I am devastated that you've come out and.
I admire that. I'm inspired by your lack of people pleasing.
Well, it's very true. Very true. Unfortunately, That is good. Okay, the next one is, she calls it luminance, which is basically celebrity. You know, when you envision your ideal life, how important would it be to be a celebrity? And on the 7 scale, she says, 7 is everywhere I'd go, people would know who I am. And on the other end, it says I'd be a private person known only in a small group. So where would you fall in that?
Gosh.
In your ideal life?
Yeah, it's not on the high end at all. I want to be known by the people who I'm resonating with. You know what I mean? Like
right.
the people, I want to be known by the people I'm serving. You know what I mean? But I am a private person. I'm not all over social media. I'm not, you know what I mean? So I would think that it maybe would be down there in the 2-3, you know, something along
right.
those lines. Like, celebrity isn't important to me at all.
Yeah, that would be 2. I'd be at like a 2 on that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see what the next one is. She calls it agency, which is basically being in control of everything. So on a 7, no one would tell me what to do or how to do it. I'd be the boss of me. And then on the opposite end, I wouldn't want to control things. Consensus and harmony would matter more. So where are you on that?
I would say, like, my first gut response would be like a 6, because I want to leave there to be room, because the 7 makes it sounds like you're not open to the idea or input from other people.
Right.
I want to learn from mentors and people that have done it before me, you know, but I want to be in the one in control of making the decisions and everything. So I would probably say 6.
You know, I tell you, I would agree completely with that. I would be a 6 too, because, boy, I'm a big believer in learning from other people that have been where you want to go.
Yeah, but I don't want anybody being like, I want to be the captain of my own ship. I want to be
right.
the one, like, if things are going to succeed or fail, it is going to be because I'd
right.
Based on the decisions I made and my input and my work and all of that. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I think that sort of gets at the heart of being an entrepreneur, but it can also be a factor in if you're an employee. I mean, you could have a job where if you really want to be in control and all that, but you had to be part of a team, that would be an incongruence where, you know, you're always having to get the consensus of the group. I would hate that. Oh, I would hate that.
Yeah.
I mean, give me a job where just tell me what to do and it's up to me to figure out how to do it best. So that's an example of how knowing your values can affect what job you would accept or do.
Yeah, absolutely.
So here's a good one. Achievement. Again, what I envision for my ideal life. So a 7 would be, my life would be filled with accomplishments and success. And then on the other hand, I'd rarely be concerned with myself with success. Winning and losing wouldn't matter to me. So where are you on that?
I'm a seven. I like to win.
Like, yeah.
I'm
maybe I'm the same. I'm right there with you. Right there with you. But I'll say that this with a caveat. You know, I want to win and I want accomplishments, but not at any price. And I know you're the same way too.
Yeah. Not at any price. And also too, I want to be clear that my identity doesn't revolve around this achievement piece. You know what I
mean? Yeah.
That, like,
yeah.
If I'm not achieving, I'm still a whole person. You know what I mean?
Right.
If I'm not, but is that important to me? Absolutely it is. I want to win and I want to achieve. And
right.
Yeah, it's just part of the fabric of who I am.
Well, and I tell you, I see that with me, I want to achieve, but what's more important to me is doing my best and not my version of doing my best until I got to be 50, which I just thought was hard work. You know, I see that, you know, there's six components of doing my best, including, you know, doing deep thinking two times a week and having a system for tuning into reality and, you know, having a system for personal growth and, you know, focusing on what moves the needle. There's, you know, there's six components to me of doing my best. And so as it relates to achievement, I'm focused on doing my best because that's what I can control, and achievement will come from that. And if it doesn't come from that, then it wasn't meant to be, is my attitude.
Yeah. Yeah.
So here's another one that's interesting. Work centrism, essentially how important is work in your life. So a seven would be, work would be my primary main purpose, defining my meaning and momentum. And then on the other side of it, a one would be, work would play a very insignificant role in my life. So where would you be on that?
I think I'm going to be somewhere in the middle because I do love what I do. I love to work. Like I will work one week of the day. I'm unable to because I get so much fulfillment from it.
Right.
But I don't want my entire life to revolve around work. But yes, is it a big part of my identity? And is it a big part of like what makes me me? Absolutely. So I'm thinking somewhere in the middle. I would be
like a four.
Four. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would say I would be probably a six. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things I've been thinking about lately as it relates to that is I am fascinated by the process of success, how success happens, how people create it, what they go through to create it. And, of course, I think creating success is foundationally so simple. You just create immense clarity about your life and you feed it to yourself every day. And that makes the right actions happen automatically without thinking. So super simple way to look at it. And I've gotten to the point lately though that I really study people. You know, like I have the head coaches here at the University of Texas come and talk to my class. And like the swimming coach who just won a national championship here at Texas, he had left Arizona State the year before. We hired him because he won the national championship there, comes to UT and wins it in his first year. And so he's a great guy. He was Michael Phelps' coach for 20-something years. So I had him come talk to my class and I go, so what's your special talent? He says, I am super organized. I've been super organized since I was a kid. And that is facilitated when you're a coach. But it's a good example to me and hopefully to my class about how people achieve success. So I'm always studying it and I'm always intrigued by it. I find joy personally in the achievement of not so much per se the achievement myself, but the joy of studying this concept of success. And I'm not that concerned if people get the Tibby method or not.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they're bright enough, they'll get it. If they're not bright enough, they won't get it. Mm-hmm. That may be an arrogant way to look at it, but candidly, that's how I look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And I am more interested at this point in my life to expand my understanding of success and see how people do it and just, you know, the pursuit of the field of success is more interesting to me than figuring out how I can go on social media and become a big celebrity in success, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I, you know, that's been enlightening to me to think through that. Let's see what the next one is. Here's a good one. Affluence. When you envision your ideal life on affluence, being a seven, I'd be so rich I could have anything I ever wanted and then some. And then on the other end, I'd have enough money to get by because that's all I want. So where would you be on that?
Not a seven. I don't need all of the money
right.
in the world or anything. So I'm thinking five.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I might be at that level too. I remember when I was 50 and I don't know, I probably had a net worth of $300,000 when I was 50. And I remember as I was trying to figure out my life, I'm like, okay, I'm not going to be worth $100 million. That's not going to happen. I mean, the only way you have that type of money is to really be playing in the public markets. I mean, that, you know, that's the only way you really get super money is something in the essentially in the stock markets. And I'm like, okay, so that's out. I'm not going to be super rich, but I want a great lifestyle, a great house, financial security. I don't need, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, but I probably need 15 or 20 million, candidly. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, I can do that. I can do that in the reverse mortgage business. And fortunately, I did do it in the reverse mortgage business. And so I'd say affluence to me, just like you, is probably a five or a six, depending on, you know, exactly what it is. But I see that money is great from the standpoint that it eliminates pains. But once you have enough money, you know, really you need another house in Aspen. You need,
yeah.
You need a Lamborghini. You know,
but
you may want a Lamborghini.
Yeah.
But that's the type of thing, though, that it just doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter, you know. And so, but I think you see how interesting it is to understand sort of where you are on what we've never really thought of as values, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so maybe, let's see, you're getting down to the, let me look at how many, you know, maybe the last one we'll do here, there's two or three more, but the last one we'll do is basically fun. On a seven, it's fun, well-being, and pleasure would come first. Life is meant to be enjoyed. Then on the other end, fun, well-being, and pleasure would matter, but they wouldn't be anywhere near my top priorities. So where do you think?
I'm high. I'm probably like five.
Yeah.
For me, like it is, like it's important to, like I purposefully won't work with people, like with companies. I'm fortunate enough to not have to work with a-holes. You know what I mean? And
right.
Like when we bring joy, I hire people who have a positive disposition, who are going to bring that kind of energy into the equation. Like I measure my success in my day every day by how much I laughed.
Yeah.
I did laugh. You know, if I'm like, oh, today was kind of a low, you know, then I'm thinking about how I'm going to bring more into that joy into my next day, because it's just, it is one of my values. So I would put it high up there. Not that it's all about that, but it definitely is high on that, you know, on that matrix for me.
Yeah. I think I'm the same way. I was just telling the Jen earlier today, you know, one of the things I love about my wife is she's got a great sense of humor, and I'm always poking at her, you know, something to gig her or to, and it was funny. I may have told you this back when we were dating, when we were like, you know, it wasn't like in the first, it was like 5 to 6 months in, you know, Ginger is a little naive. Would you agree?
Well, I don't know her well enough to be able to say that, but
she's a little naive, mm-hmm. and I would say things just to ruffle her feathers, just because, you know, I mean, I don't know why it was so fun, but it would rouse her up. Uh-huh. And then now I can't do it because she knows I'm always trying to
spot on to you. Exactly.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, it was so fun because, you know, it'd ruffle her feathers and then it'd make us laugh because she would know I'm kidding. But I'm right there with you. I'm all about having fun and laughing. And if that can't be part of the equation, then I don't want to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, there's going to be stuff that's hard and there's going to be, and even in some of that stuff, I'm like, you know, the stuff where I have a choice, like it's whether, like, do I want to cry right now or do I
right.
laugh? I'm like, I'll
right.
pick laugh every single time. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm going to try
right.
to find the humor in it and just, you know, whatever it is, I'll try to find the humor in it.
Right. So I'm trying to think what the takeaway from today's episode is, and help me with this, but I think that maybe the takeaway is it's, first of all, important to understand what your values are and your values relative to these 16 values that Susie Welch has articulated relative to how important is money to you, how important is work as your central focus, you know, how important is celebrity to you or outside recognition. Those are really interesting ideas, and it's a shift from what we think in terms of values. But I see that when you understand your values and then you apply them to your proclivities, what your special talents are, and also what your interests are that are economically viable, then the combination of those three things can create a career that is totally fulfilling. And if you go against your values in the career you have, then it can also make that career a nightmare.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think that was the perfect summary. And so I would just emphasize again, this goes back to what we've talked about so many times, which is taking the time to think.
Yeah.
We are right now, you know, more so now than ever, trained ourselves to think of these 10-second little, you know, with social media and everything. So just stopping and taking some time to actually put some time in. And this is the perfect time of year, you know, as we're
right.
wrapping
yeah.
up the year, coming into the new year, to be thinking about these kinds of things. And when you're looking at your career specifically, you know, it's like, okay, if I'm, for example, see now that agency is a really important part of, that's a really important value to me. And I'm in a situation right now where I have zero control, then part
right.
of your plan, you know, is going to be, okay, how do I get either in within my existing role and company, you know, or within my existing company, how do I get in a seat at the table where I have, you know, more agency and how my department or whatever, or maybe it's looking at new opportunities that are outside your organization or, you know, so I think I love the idea of, you know, right now, as we're having this conversation, it happens to be at the end of, you know, December, but, you know, we should be doing this all of the time, but especially now is a good time to be reflecting, to be thinking deeply about these things that are kind of then mapping out and then tying it all into the life GPS. Then you can start looking at, okay, what are the behaviors? What are some of the things that need to be happening, you know, to, you know, get me to where I want to be. And you can utilize the methodology to help you do that.
I tell you, I just had an idea. You ought to get this book and look at those 16 values. And as you are trying to coerce people to leave a job, to
yeah.
go to another job, you could use this to your advantage, because I promise you, they've never thought about this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I that's what I was thinking. And I think I'm even going to pull a little clip out of this.
Right.
Too, and share it. So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm going to recover from you saying that I was not a people pleaser. I mean, you were so quick to go right there. There was no hesitation. So I am going to try and recover from that. So until next time, we will see you.
Thank you for listening to the Missing Secret podcast. If you'd like to learn more about this 12-minute a day technique that gives you control over your life beyond what you've ever experienced before, visit themissingsecret.org. That's themissingsecret.org. Sign up for a free video that reveals the full secret of Think and Grow Rich and purchase John's book, The Missing Secret. Until next time, be the exception. Work smarter, not harder, by leveraging yourself through science. It takes 12 minutes a day.